Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman Yud Gimel, Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Kama, Daf Yud Gimel. The first parak, Arba Avos. The first parak is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Moshe and Dvorah Smith and is dedicated to our courageous soldiers of Tzahal, the remarkable citizens of Israel, and to all incredible Jewish people. May Kodesh Baruch Hu watch over all of us and grant Israel a complete victory over Hamas and the return of all the hostages safely. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Abba said, Shlamim Shehiziku, if a Shlami animal, which is a tam, damages, Gova Masaron, the Nizak may collect half damages from its meat, which the owner normally eats, Veina Gova Me'imurim, but cannot collect from its Emurim, the parts sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Although this seems obvious, since Emurim are brought on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Abba meant that he cannot even collect from the meat corresponding to the value of the Emurim, which cannot be collected, and only collects half of the meat. The Gemara explains how this ruling fits into a machlokas where one person's ox, a tam, pushed an animal into a pit and it died, where the ox's owner only pays a quarter, half of its half damages. According to the Rabban, who hold the pit's owner does not pay more than half, one could still have thought here, he collects from the meat whatever he cannot collect from the Emorim, since it's all one body. According to Rabbi Nassim, who holds the pit's owner pays whatever cannot be collected from the ox's owner, that is specific to a pit, which completes the damage, but agrees that where two components damage equally, one does not substitute the other's payment. Pointing to the Mishnah Daf Tes Amabes taught that damage payments only apply to Nechasei HaMiyuchadim, privately owned properties, and three interpretations are given. Number one, Rav Yudah says it excludes a case where it's unclear whose animal inflicted the damage, where each owner can say it was the other person's animal and is exempt. Number two, Abrais explains, Prat L'Nichsei Hefker, the Mishnah is excluding ownerless properties. The Gemara explains the cases where an ownerless animal damaged an owned one, and someone else acquired it. The damaged party has no claim to the animal, which was unowned at the time of damage. Number three, Ravina says it excludes Nagach V'Acharkach Hikdish, where an animal gored and its owner was later Makdish it, or Nagach V'Acharkach Hifkir, it gored and its owner later declared it Hefker. Although it was owned at the time of damage, the damaged party cannot collect from it because Adrasha teaches, Ashite Misva Mada Bedin V'Gmar Din Shavim Ke'echot, an animal is not killed for killing a person unless the killing of the victim, the standing in court, and the verdict are all the same, meaning without a change in its ownership. And point with you, the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis mentioned, Rishus Anizak Vahamazik, a domain belonging to both the damaged party and the damaging party, but it's unclear if it's part of the previous exemptions from payment or the beginning of the following clause obligating payment. Rav Chisda says, Chaser Shutafim, in a chaser owned by partners, Chai Ba Ohashen Vaha Regel, the Torah obligated paying for Shane and Regel damages. He considers such a field as the field of another, which is where the Torah obligates paying for Shane and Regel, and it's not like Rishus Arabim. Rav Elazar said that Shane and Regel are exempt in a jointly owned chaser, and it's not considered the field of another, since the damager's owner also owns the field. According to Rav Chisda, the next clause of the Mishnah, Kishihizik Chavamazik, when it does damage, the damager is obligated, completes this phrase, obligating Shane and Regel in a jointly owned chatzer. According to Rav Elazar, it's an independent clause, and the Gemara explains it either comes to include Karen, or to teach that if a borrowed ox damaged the borrower's own ox, the lender must pay for the damages, where the borrower did not accept to watch it from inflicting damage. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Abba said, Shlamim Shehiziku, if a Shlamim animal which is a tam damages, Gova Masaron, he may collect half damages from its meat, which the owner normally eats, Ve'ina Gova Me'imurim, but cannot collect from its Emurim, the part sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Although this seems obvious, since Emurim are brought on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Abba meant that he cannot even collect from the meat corresponding to the value of the Emurim, which cannot be collected, and only collects half of the meat. The Gemara explains how this ruling fits into a machlokas where one person's ox, a tam, pushed an animal into a pit and it died, where the ox's owner only pays a quarter, half of its half damages. According to the Rabban, who hold the pit's owner does not pay more than half, one could still have thought here, he collects from the meat whatever he cannot collect from the Emorim, since it's all one body. According to Rabbi Nassim, who holds the pit's owner pays whatever cannot be collected from the ox's owner, that is specific to a pit, which completes the damage, but agrees that where two components damage equally, one does not substitute the other's payment. Pointing to the Mishnah Daf Tes Amabes taught that damage payments only apply to Nechasei HaMiyuchadim, privately owned properties, and three interpretations are given. Number one, Rav Yudah says it excludes a case where it's unclear whose animal inflicted the damage, where each owner can say it was the other person's animal and is exempt. Number two, Abrais explains, Prat L'Nichsei Hefker, the Mishnah is excluding ownerless properties. The Gemara explains the cases where an ownerless animal damaged an owned one, and someone else acquired it. The damaged party has no claim to the animal, which was unowned at the time of damage. Number three, Ravina says it excludes nagach v'achar kach hikdish, where an animal gored and its owner was later makdish it, or nagach v'achar kach hifkir, it gored and its owner later declared it hefker. Although it was owned at the time of damage, the damaged party cannot collect from it because Adrasha teaches ashtei misavah mada bedin v'gmar din shavin ke'echad. An animal is not killed for killing a person unless the killing of the victim, the standing in court, and the verdict are all the same, meaning without a change in its ownership. And point with you, the Mishnah on Dav Tes Amud Beis mentioned Rishus Hanizik v'Hamazik, a domain belonging to both the damaged party and the damaging party, but it's unclear if it's part of the previous exemptions from payment or the beginning of the following clause obligating payment. Rav Chisda says Chaser Shutafim in a chaser owned by partners, Chay ba Hashen v'Haregel, the Torah obligated paying for Shane and Regel damages. He considers such a field as the field of another, which is where the Torah obligates paying for Shane and Regel, and it's not like Rishus Arabim. Rav Elazar said that Shane and Regel are exempt in a jointly owned chaser, and it's not considered the field of another since the damager's owner also owns the field. According to Rav Chisda, the next clause of the Mishnah, Kishihizik Chavamazik, when it does damage, the damager is obligated, completes this phrase, obligating Shane and Regel in a jointly owned chatzer. According to Rav Elazar, it's an independent clause, and the Gemara explains it either comes to include Karen, or to teach that if a borrowed ox damaged the borrower's own ox, the lender must pay for the damages, where the borrower did not accept to watch it from inflicting damage. All right, so now we go to Simon W. Gimel, and our standard Simon is a bar mitzvah boy. A bar mitzvah boy, so here goes. The bar mitzvah boy whose first ever shlamim, which was a tama, gourd, making mechayv to pay half damages from the meat, but not from the emorim, was in the midst of admitting to a rabbi it was nechasim yuchadim, and not hefker. When all of a sudden he noticed his petko was eating the nizak's produce in the chatzer his family jointly owned with the nizak. Once again, it's a motion. The bar mitzvah boy, that must be more on daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy whose first ever shlamim, which was a tam, gourd, making mechayev to pay half damages from the meat, but not from the emorim, which reminds us Rabbi Abba said, shlamim sheheziku, if a shlamim animal which is a tam damages, gova mesarin, he may collect half damages from its meat, which the owner normally eats, veina gova me emoren, but cannot collect from its emorim the part sacrificed on the mizbeach. Although this seems obvious since emorim are brought on the mizbeach, Rabbi Abba meant he cannot even collect from the meat corresponding to the value of the emorim, which cannot be collected, and only collects half of the meat. So the bar mitzvah boy whose first ever shlamim, which was a tam, gourd, making mechayev to pay half damages on the meat, but not from the emorim, was in the midst of admitting to a rabbi it was nechasim yuchadim and not hefker, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Tes Amud Beis taught that damage payments only applied to nechasim yuchadim, privately owned properties, and three interpretations are given. The second one being prat l'nichsei hefker. The Mishnah is excluding ownerless properties. The Gemara explains the cases where an ownerless animal damaged an owned one and someone else acquired it. The damaged party has no claim to the animal, which was unowned at the time of the damage. So the bar mitzvah boy whose first ever shlamim, which was a tam gourd, making mechayev to pay half damages on the meat, but not the emorim, was in the midst of admitting to a rabbi it was nechasim yuchadim, and not hefker, when all of a sudden he noticed the petko was eating the nizak's produce in the chatzer his family jointly owned with the nizak, which reminds us the Gemara brings a machlokas if a jointly owned chatzer is exempt from shein and regel. So once again, the bar mitzvah boy whose first ever shlamim, which was a tam, gourd, making mechayev to pay half damages for the meat, but not from the emorim, was in the midst of admitting to a rabbi it was nechasim yuchadim, and not hefker, when all of a sudden he noticed his petko was eating the nizak's produce in the chatzer his family jointly owned with the nizak. All right, so now it's time for four blot back chazar. Daf Tes. So the simmer Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The brother sitting around drinking tea. Tea. That must be on Daf Tes. Tea. Teapot. The brother is sitting around drinking tea while arguing whether they were like Yorshin or Lakuchos after dividing their father's estate, which reminds us there's a Malchokas if brothers who divide an estate are like Yorshin or Lakuchos. The Nafkamina is the case where brothers divided their father's estate and the father's creditor collected his debt from one brother. If they're like Yorshin, this brother can be compensated, but if they're like Lakuchos, then he doesn't get anything. So the brother is sitting around drinking tea while arguing whether they're like Yorshin or Lakuchos after dividing their father's estate. We're interrupted by one brother who entered the room with an esrog, which he spent a third more on, which reminds us Rabbi Zera taught, behidr mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. Regarding hidr mitzvah, one must spend up to a third of the cost of the mitzvah itself. And he was quoted as saying, "Ad shlish mishalo, up to a third must be funded from one's own assets. Mekan ve'elok mishalo kosh baruch hu." From there on, if he spends more, it will be funded, meaning reimbursed, from kosh baruch hu. So the brothers sitting around drinking tea while arguing whether they were like yorshin or lekuchos after dividing their father's estate were interrupted by one brother who entered the room with an esrog, which he spent a third more on, who asked them if it was really wise to leave their children to guard over a shore a boar and a burning coal, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Kol shechavti b'shmira, so anything I am obligated to guard from damaging, yigsharti es nizko, I have caused the damage it does if I did not guard it adequately. A braisa illustrates this. Shor ubor shemasnu l'cher shot v'katan, an ox or pit that one left under the watch of a deaf mute, an insane person, or a minor, he's responsible for their damages. If you left a fire under the watch, he's exempt from its damages. The distinction is explained in two ways. Daf Yud. So the Simur Daf Yud is a minyan of Yidden. So here goes. The groundbreaking ceremony for the minyan of Yidden's new shul, minyan of Yidden, that must mean we're on Daf Yud. The groundbreaking ceremony for the minyan of Yidden's new shul was a disaster when an animal fell into a pit and died right after the president had dug the 10th tefach, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis had stated, Hikshati b'miksas nizko, if I caused part of the damage, chavti b'tash shumi nizko, I'm liable in payment of his damage, kehekshon kol nizko, like causing the whole damage. A braisa illustrates that if one digs a pit 9 tefachim deep and another comes along and completes it to a depth of 10 tefachim, ha'achron chayv, the last person alone is chayv for death or damages it causes. Thus, although the second person only increased the pit's capacity for damage, he's fully culpable for its damages. So the groundbreaking ceremony for the minyan of Yidden's new shul was a disaster when an animal fell into a pit and died right after the president had dug the 10th tefach, just as a bench holding 5 members collapsed after a heavy member sat down as well, which reminds us, Abraisa brings a case where 5 people were sitting on a bench and did not break it from their combined weight, and then one more person came and sat on it and broke it. This last person is fully liable. The Braisa is discussing someone like Papa Bar Abba, who was extraordinarily heavy and did not have permission to use the bench. So the groundbreaking ceremony for the minyan of Yidden's new shul was a disaster when an animal fell into a pit and died right after the president had dug the 10th tefach, just as a bench holding 5 members collapsed after a heavy member sat down as well, while the stench from the nevel wafted over the nizah cried out that it was depreciating, which reminds us. The Gemara notes that the Mishnah did not state chavdi benizko, I'm liable for his damage, but betashumi nizko, in the payment of his damage, which carries the connotation of hashlama, completion. This teaches shabali metapling benevela, that the owner of the killed animal must deal with the carcass in terms of pchas nevela, the carcass's depreciation. Since it belongs to the owner immediately, he suffers the loss of any further depreciation between its death and the court case. Daf Yudov, so the Simur Daf Yudov is stars like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. When the thief threw a blanket decorated in stars, that must be on Daf Yudov. When the thief threw a blanket decorated in stars over the rotting carcass he had to keep because Ein Shamin L'Ganav, which reminds us, Shmuel said Ein Shamin Lo L'Ganav Lo L'Gazim, we do not evaluate for a thief or a robber the carcass of a stolen animal which died, rather they keep the carcass and pay in full, El Nezakim, we only evaluate a carcass for cases of damages. Tosfos explains that although generally one can pay with anything of value, thieves cannot because the Torah requires them to fully replace the stolen item or its value in money. So when the thief threw a blanket decorated in stars over the rotting carcass he had to keep because Ein Shamin L'Ganav, his wife who just miscarried a shilya over 2 days demanded he get it out of the house, which reminds the Gemara discusses how we count a woman's tumah if a shilya, an amniotic sac, partially emerged during a miscarriage on 1 day and finished emerging the next day. So when the thief threw a blanket decorated in stars over the rotting carcass he had to keep because Ein Shamin L'Ganav, his wife who just miscarried a shilya over 2 days demanded he get it out of the house, while his shomer guarding his getaway car got another shomer to watch it because he couldn't take the smell. Which reminds the Gemara brings Malchokas whether a shomer who transferred something he was washing to another shomer is exempt from damages to the item. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simur Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The boy who picked up an Eved holding a microwave oven to show his 11 brothers. Boy, 11 brothers? That must be on Daf Yud Beis. 12 brothers. The boy who picked up an Eved holding a microwave oven to show his 11 brothers. An Eved is like Karka in terms of acquiring metaltling with a kinyanaga, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if Avadim are like Karka regarding acquiring metaltling along with them. So the boy who picked up an Eved holding a microwave oven to show his 11 brothers, an Eved is like Karka in terms of acquiring metaltling with a kinyanaga, accidentally dropped him on a Lai Bechor, making him chayv to pay damages, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis taught that one is only chayv for damages to properties which are not subject to Me'ila, Now, this implies that even if they're a hektish, one would be chai for damaging them, provided they're not subject to me'ilah. Rabbi Yochanan explains that the mission refers to kachim kalim, karbanas of lesser kedusha, such as shlamim or bechor, and follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Agli, who holds that kachim kalim mamun balim hu, it's the personal property of the owner. So the boy who picked up an evid holding a microwave oven to show his 11 brothers, an evid is like kark in terms of acquiring metaltolin, with a kinyan agav, accidentally dropped him on a lie bechor, making him chayiv to pay damages to the kohen who's trying to sell it, since nowadays it belongs to him, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches that an unblemished bechor may be sold by a kohen while it's alive, and a blemished one may be sold even after shechita. Rav Nachman explained this refers to a bechor nowadays, which cannot be sacrificed and so belongs to a kohen. Still, if it was shechted without a blemish, it's prohibited in benefit as a carbon shechted outside the mikdash. While the Beit Hamikdash is standing, a live unblemished bechor does not belong personally to the kohen. Rav Nachman was challenged from Rav Yossi Agli, who considers kachim kalim to be personal property, even when the Beit Hamikdash is standing. Ravina answers, Rav Yossi discusses a bechor outside Eretz Yisrael, which Rabbi Shimon holds should not be brought to Eretz Yisrael to be sacrificed, and is therefore the Kohen's property. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do we discuss whether one is chai for damages of Shein and Regel in Rishus HaNizak V'HaMazik? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good number 2. Which daf do we have a case where 5 people are sitting on a bench and a 6th person, who's very fat, sits down as well and breaks the bench? That's on daf Yud. Good number 3. Which of they learned that nowadays an unblemished bechor may be sold by a kohen while it's alive? That's on daf Yud Beis. Good number 4. Which of they learned ain shamin l'ganav? A thief cannot repay his theft with the carcass of the animal he stole. That's on daf Yud Aleph. Good number 5. Which of they learned hidur b'mitzvah ad shlish? Regarding hidur of a mitzvah, one must spend up to a third of the cost of the mitzvah itself. That's on daf Test. Good number 6. Which daf do we have 3 different pshatim of what nochasim miyuchadim means? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good number 7. Which daf do we have is whether a shomer who gets another shomer to watch the item is chai for damages? That's on daf Yud Aleph. Good number 8. Which of the one that a shlamim tam that damages we collect from its meat but not from its emorim? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good number 9. Which up to the case where Reuven sold all his fields to Shimon, then Shimon sold one to Levi, and then Reuven's creditor comes? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number 10. Which up to discuss if Havadim are like Karka regarding acquiring metaltolin along with them? That's on daf Yud Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.